For our first study, we will be reading from John chapter 4. John chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. Therefore, when the Lord knew that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself did not baptize but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again to Galilee. And he needed to go through Samaria. So he came to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman of Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." For his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. Then the woman of Samaria said to him, "How is it that you, being a Jew, ask a drink from me, a Samaritan woman? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it is who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where then do you get the living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob, who gave us the well and drank from it himself, as well as his sons and his livestock?" Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Jesus said to her, "Go call your husband and come here." The woman answered and said, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You have said well, 'I have no husband,' for you have had five husbands, and the one whom you now have is not your husband. In that you spoke truly." The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet. Our fathers worshipped on this mountain, and you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship with the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things." Jesus said to her, "I who speak to you am he." And at this point his disciples came, and they marveled that he talked with a woman. Yet no one said, "What do you seek?" or, "Why are you talking with her?" The woman then left her water pot, went her way into the city, and said to the men, "Come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ?" Then they went out of the city and came to him. In the meantime, his disciples urged him, saying, "Rabbi, eat." But he said to them, "I have food to eat of which you do not know." Therefore the disciples said to one another, "Has anyone brought him anything to eat?" Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me, and to finish his work. Do you not say there are still 4 months, and then comes the harvest? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. And he who reaps receives wages and gathers fruit for eternal life, that both he who sows and he who reaps may rejoice together. For in this the saying is true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap for that which you have not labored. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labors. And many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, "He told me all that I ever did." So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his own word. Now they said to the woman, "Now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world." So far.
When we got together to discuss the Easter conference, and in a special way the subject, usually there are few subjects presented, exercises, and we try to choose one. And this year there was no exercise, no definite exercise, but through reading of the scriptures and mentioning the needs in the assemblies, the brethren felt very clearly that this is the subject we would like to study, evangelism and shepherding. And we thought, before we speak about evangelism, we look at the greatest evangelist, the Lord Jesus, the Master, the Teacher, that we can learn from him. He was the evangelist, but he's also the subject of the gospel. All the gospel of God, the good news, centers in him. And he knew that there was a need in Samaria. And unlike every other Jew, it says that he must go by Samaria. When he goes from Judea to Galilee, the Orthodox Jew would try to take a loop and avoid going through Samaria. But here it says he must needs go to Samaria, because there was one and more who have need for life. And he meets this woman. She was a lonely woman. He also was a lonely stranger, but from a totally opposite reasons. She was lonely. She was ashamed of her history, of her life. She was the lowest of the society. And when she goes to draw water, she goes at a time when there was no person. He was lonely, but only because of his glory, his moral glory, made him a stranger in the world, in an ungodly world. And they meet. And you see how beautifully he meets a lot more than the need of this Samaritan woman. All she needed is some water, water from the well. And when he told her that, "I will give you living water," he said, "Give me, that I don't have to come here." But he immediately tells her, "If thou knowest the gift of God." Few things that she knew, she knows now, she didn't know before. All she knew about God, probably through few commandments from the law, that God is demanding. But now she knows that God is a giver. "If thou knowest the gift of God, and who it is that is asking you to give him to drink, the majesty and the glory of his person, you would have asked of him." He shows us her that she is in a desperate need. She needs to ask, and then he would have given you living water, the Holy Spirit, that best gift believers would have. And then he draws her, exercising her conscience. He's able to do that, to exercise the conscience of a sinner, but doesn't leave her there, but cause her to rise above all the circumstances, and he presents the worship of God in a way that was never known before. Not better than the Samaritans, not even better than the Judaism, but it's a new way altogether. It is the Christian worship, elevating her, elevating the worship to the Father, not known before. That beautiful relationship between the worshipers and the God whom we worship. The Father seeketh such to worship him. You know, and who can declare the Father but him? No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. And in John 1 also, he says that he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, gave he them power to become the children of God, even to those that believe on his name. Those that are born of God, not of blood, not of the flesh, and not of the will of man, but of God. It's the new relationship of the believers to God, who is our Father. And what a joy that we know him now and we worship him as the Father. It's a beautiful account, and it also not teach us only evangelism, but I think it teaches us ministry. Those of us that minister, is it that we lift up the hearts? It's an uplifting ministry. Lift up the heart of this poor woman to God and to the Father. And this is the proper ministry in the assembly that would cause the heart to be drawn and lifted up unto the God and Father.
When we consider the Lord and his wondrous grace stooping down to the Samaritan woman and one of the outcasts of society, already in verse 31 of the previous chapter 3, notice there, he that cometh from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all. Think of how the distance, the height which he was. He came from heaven. And he came from heaven where everything was in perfect harmony, perfect joy in the presence of God between the persons of the Godhead. He comes as sent of the Father into this world. And then in his pathway here, when we the path retrace which he went, every step that he took was having his ears open to hear. Every morning by morning, his ears were open to hear words from the Father to direct him. And the Father directed him. Here he must needs go there. The divine necessity for him to come here. He didn't come here to seek the righteous. He came to save sinners. Only he could do that. What a mission it was that he was on. But how blessed. We are blessed here today because he came on that for that very purpose. So he comes down, as our brothers pointed out. The Samaritans, the Jews would bypass the Orthodox Jew. The Samaritans themselves were despised, but she was one that was already despised among those that were despised, among the Samaritans. She was the lowest of the low, and that's where he came to seek. And I think when we consider there these steps, the way of approach, as was pointed out. He knew the heart. But of course, nobody could do this except as he was walking in communion with the Father. So I want to give us, as a practical thing, it's for me, for all of us, a word of encouragement. How do we know? How are we able to approach a soul that we've never met before? Or we come into the presence? Well, it says we are directed by the Father in communion with him. And here to do what is for his pleasure. For his pleasure on our part is to exalt the Lord Jesus. And the Spirit of God in the believer would exalt the Lord by our ways, our actions, our deportment, our conduct, and our speech. And so how well his words were measured. He didn't say too much, but he just spoke that would meet and minister to her need, which she was not aware of. Not aware of. But just think, and with this I close. Here he comes, the one who'd created the universe. Silver and the gold are mine. Cattle on 1,000 hills. He sits down on a well, weary of the journey. It must weary a holy person like he was to be surrounded by unbelief and sin and degradation. That is what sin had brought in. And of this woman that comes there, he asks something of her. Give me to drink. Give me to drink. He is saying that to everyone in this room. He wants something from your heart, from your life, to satisfy his heart before he is able to present. This opens the way. You know, if he would have condemned her and said who she was, if she would have told her that in the beginning, it would have been impossible for her. But here, this opened up to her. Here's someone, a Jew, asking of me something. A despised. She recognized herself as an outcast and despised. And now here, he brings this question to her. Give me to drink.
Verse 6, being worried from his journey, sat thus by the well. A testimony, this, to the reality of manhood, and not worried only, but hungry and thirsty too. At midday, 6 hours, midday, in the heat of the sun, he sat on well side. Nicodemus sought him by night, and he sought the Samaritan sinner at midday. We find in the great evangelist in the John Gospel is specialized by record his encounter with 7 individuals, person. First Nicodemus, chapter 3. He said to Nicodemus, if anyone born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse 3 to 5. But Nicodemus believed. We see him in chapter 19, verse 39 to 42, bringing a myrrh, mixed their myrrh with aloe and with Joseph the Arimathea, they laid the body of Jesus in a new tomb. Chapter 4, we see this woman, Samaritan woman, when the Lord Jesus unveiled his life, her life, she confessed to him as a prophet, verse 17. Then confessed as the Christ, verse 33. Then, verse 19, 22, she said to him, and the one who came from God. So, this Samaritan woman, first, she went to the inhabitants of the city and testified the Lord Jesus. We read in verse 39, many of them, they believed the Lord Jesus. In chapter 4, 2, the nobleman's son, the Lord healed him, And the result was, we read in verse 53, the nobleman himself believed and whole household. But we find in chapter 5, the great physician who healed the crippled man. And the crippled man, after his healing, he went to the Jews and said to them who he had made well. Chapter 8, he, with the woman, cast caught in adultery. He defended her against the accusers and said to them, who with you without sin, let him stone her first. They went one by one. Verse 7 and 8. There remained the woman only. He said to her, neither I condemned you. Verse 11. Then chapter 9, the blind man, when the Lord Jesus healed him, he confessed him as prophet, then as one he came from God, then he worshipped him in verse 38. Finally, Lazarus, the Lord Jesus, raised him from the dead. Chapter 11. But in chapter 12, verse 11, we read, many of the Jews, they come and saw Lazarus alive, and they believed the Lord Jesus, the great evangelist, and he all his life preaching and healing.
The title of the session, The Great Evangelist. And for sure we are talking about the Lord Jesus himself. And he is truly is the greatest one. And we thank Brother Luis. He demonstrated so many other occasions in which he preached. But even when we look at this portion before us. What has he done? First of all, in verse 4, and he must needs go through Samaria. He felt the necessity to go through this way. He didn't bother by the length of the distance. And he is going walking, not riding cars like us. He didn't care about his hunger and need for food. He didn't care about his thirst and he needs water to drink. He is occupied with one thing, which is one soul. He should bring her to the knowledge of himself and the knowledge of God. Why is that? We should ask ourselves, why did he do that? Because of love. Love to the soul in order to save her from the bad destination and from perishing in order to gain her to eternal life. It is love. I should ask myself and everyone, before thinking of evangelizing or talking to anyone, I should ask myself, do I have love to the souls? Do I see the souls with the same vision the Lord sees them? What did he do? Yes, in this passage, he went a long distance and he must needs to go through Samaria. Even he is Jewish and he didn't bother talking to Samaritan and woman. But most of all, he came from heaven to the earth and went to the cross, sacrificing himself for my soul and your soul and for each soul. Do I see the souls the same way he sees them? That should be our motive. That's what the Lord has done here, and we should imitate him. I just was asking, and I can't really understand what Paul said in Romans 9. For I could wish that I myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. He even is willing to sacrifice himself to such extent for his kinsmen. May the Lord help us in order to look at the souls the same way the Lord looks at them, and most of all, to have the same love for each one.
The deep desire of the Lord was to do the will of the Father. That involves many things. We can speak about details. It is the will of the Father that souls will be saved and will come to the saving knowledge of his Son. Definitely so. But for us it is that the Lord Jesus is the prime example for us. It is my meat, my food, that I do the will of the Father. And in the introduction, we mentioned the relationship between the Son and the Father. And the Lord said, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Of course, he is that perfect Son of God, the perfect Son. And he's the perfect reflection of the Father. We cannot say this, beloved. We are born again. We all have received a new nature. We are the children of God. And by the way, that new nature is perfect. What a wonderful grace that God in his wonderful love imparted this to us when we came to him in our sinful condition. We were wretched men, and he imparted us a new nature. The nature of his beloved Son. What did the Son do here when he met this woman? And the brother mentioned already it was the heat of the day. Nicodemus came at night. We can come to Christ, so to say, 24 hours a day. There is no closure there. There is no sign on the door, no, I come back in a few hours. He is always there. And beloved, let us avail ourselves of that wonderful privilege that we have always, any time, access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did the Lord communicate to the woman? He said, well, if you would have known who it is, give me to drink. And we were challenged by these words, this question the Lord asked the woman, and who asked us, give me to drink. Give me something which satisfies me. And how wonderful that is for that purpose, that we are saved, beloved, that the Lord may find his pleasure in that what he works in the heart of the believer. That is his desire. That is a part of that living water. That part which connects us with eternity, which connects us with that eternal bliss, heaven, where the Lord is. When we speak about the living water, do we avail ourselves of that water daily? And I speak to myself, beloved, it is so essential that that water, the Word of God, is our daily intake to quench our thirst. That there isn't thirst in our heart and desire to please the Lord and to know the Lord. And it is the Lord's desire that we take that water in, avail ourselves of it. Open your Bibles. And before your mind gets blurred with everything that you find in the day, be occupied with this word and with that person. Receive some of that water. And the soul, the new man, will be satisfied and will receive that which is needed for the day ahead of us. So this is a wonderful chapter. We could say many things about it, but that living water, I like to emphasize it. The Word of God is living. It is powerful. It is mighty to save, to bring us back to God. It is mighty to draw us out to the one who has sent the Lord Jesus. The one who, and the Lord Jesus has said, and I repeat it, when you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Have we really seen the Father? Do we have that relationship as children of God with the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ.
If thou knowest the gift of God, and we may say that the Lord Jesus is the gift of God, 2 Corinthians 9, but that's not what is meant here. 2 Corinthians 9, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. But the gift that the Lord spoke of here is what he also gives. If thou knowest the gift of God, that's the Holy Spirit, who would be in the life of the believer living waters. In chapter 7, he speaks also about the Holy Spirit in verse 37. In the last day of the feast, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me shall never thirst. As the scripture says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture says, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And then the Holy Spirit adds this sentence, but this spoke he of the Spirit which they that believe on him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. So in chapter 4, springing up into everlasting life, and here it is flowing rivers out. So in chapter 4, it's the worship. After this, he presents the worship. And the worship at present is through the Holy Spirit. Paul says in Philippians 3, we the circumcision who worship God by the Spirit. He meant the Christianity, the Christians, the true Christians worship God by the Spirit. The worship in the Old Testament was a mechanical worship. There was a priest, and there was a sacrifice, there was a building, and there was sprinkling of blood, offering sacrifice. The worship at the present is a worship by the Spirit, spiritual worship, as he presents here. And we notice in verse 22, he says, ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship. You would expect him to say, we know who he worships. But in all translations, in the English and in the Arabic, what we worship. Because it wasn't a spiritual. God was still concealed, hiding behind the veil. But in the face of Jesus Christ and in his death, the veil is rent. And the worship at this present time, worshiping the Father whom we know, and we have intimate relationship with him. So, again he says in verse 13, whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. We can apply this for anything in this world, not only in the water of the well. Her eyes were only on the physical water in the well. She says to him, sir, you have no pail, and the water is deep. Where are you going to get the living water? As if he had a pail and the well was not deep, he can get living water out of that well. No. Brother Klaus mentioned this is the Word of God. Another application, it is the Holy Spirit that indwells the believer. And he says, whosoever drinketh of the water which I shall give him shall never thirst forever. This word forever is given by Mr. Darby in his translation. Shall never thirst forever. It is not that the Holy Spirit would be given to a person and taken from him. And then you ask someone, where would you go when you die? A Christian. He says, I do not know. Here he says, shall never perish forever. In chapter 10 he says, my sheep know my voice and I know them and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish forever. No man can pluck them out of my hand. And here, the one that drinks from the water that he is to give, no one can give it but him. There is no other salvation except through him. And the Spirit of God could not be given by anyone except by the Son who came in flesh. And it would spring up to everlasting life. And this life is the life of the Son himself. It is not life forever. You know, the sinners would also live forever in hell. But this is not living forever. It is the kind of life. I came that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. It is the life of the Son himself, an everlasting life. And this is how he elevated her out of her physical eyes to see eventually. She says, I see that you're a prophet, and I know that the Messiah comes. And how he draws her heart, her attention to him and to what he can give. And we learn from him evangelism, also preaching.
Earlier, our attention was drawn to verse 4. He must needs go through Samaria. And comments were made on the action with the Orthodox Jew when it comes to Samaria. One of the question of reaching out is not that we are to choose where we go, but the Lord himself does the choosing. Here it tells us that he saw the value of a soul. No matter where she was, no matter who she was, he saw that there was value in the soul. And the only way that any of us and in speaking to Nicodemus, he said to him, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. The purchase price has been paid. And finally, I want just to touch on that verse that was mentioned, give me to drink. This is the prerogative of God, that every creature that he has made should respond to him, should give him some satisfaction. When he made man, it was for the delight of his heart. He says in the Proverbs, my delights were with the sons of men. So here the creator says to the creature, give me to drink, delight my heart. But the condition in which the creature is found cannot delight the heart of God. Man cannot, in his condition of sinnership, give God any delight. So God in his grace says to her, if thou knewest the gift of God, if you knew the gift of God, you would have, and who it is that said to thee, give me to drink, thou would have asked of him, and he would have given thee. The question of the Lord says to us, we cannot give him anything. But because we have come to the point where we know we cannot give him anything, we look to him to put it in us so that he might get out of us.
If you knew, verse 10, the gift of God, the Lord set before her three things. First, the fact that God is the giver, the gift of God. He set before her a new light. Second, he indicated his mysterious greatness of own person as dispenser of the gift of God. Who says to you, give me to drink? Third, he would give her the living water, means the Holy Spirit. We find in this verse the Trinity. The Father is the giver of the gift. The Son, who says to her, give me to drink. The Holy Spirit, who would give the living water. The Lord turned her from earthly water to heavenly living water. If you knew, here lay the problem to all men. Men neither know their needs nor the person who can minister to it. This woman was ignorant of the gift of God. Like other sinners, they know not the word of God or the gift of God. So they live in their trouble. The gift of God, it's everlasting life. The gift of God is a living water. The gift of God, it's salvation. And every man need to the gift of God.
Just a few points that we can learn also from the Samaritan women. The first thing we can see here is that she let herself capture by the presence of the Lord. She was conscious of who was there. The Lord Jesus spoke to her. And It's the same thing for us. We are here. Is it just another meeting? Are we realizing that we are in the presence of the Lord and He's going to reveal more Himself for us, that we can be able to be a witness like the Samaritan women? So the first thing we see here, she let herself capture. The Lord Jesus captured her. Her attention. That is verse 9. In verse 11 and 12, she start learning. She start learning from the Lord. We need to give our attention to the Word of God. We need to understand that the Lord Jesus has something to give to us. We need to receive. So she starts learning. That's the second step. The third step we see here from the Samaritan women, verse 19, 20, she starts growing. There is a beginning, start growing, Noel G. She realized that as a prophet, a very big step. From the beginning, a special Jew. Now is not any more special Jew. He is a prophet. So she is growing in the knowledge of the person who is in her presence. And the third step we see in here, we're going to verse 25. We can see that there is now faith in her. It's not anymore prophet. It's Christ. Christ himself. So the result, there is a desire to share something special she discovered from Jesus. If we are in the presence of the Lord and the Word of God just stay in our intellectual knowledge, there will not be any action. The most important is the trusting of the Word of God, that it comes from Jesus himself. Jesus Christ has given us something important that we can share. So here, she can say in verse 29, come see a man who told me all things that I ever did. Could this be the Christ? A very important step. And through this testimony, it must have the effect. Is really Christ who brings people to himself, using us, you and me, to bring people to himself, to know him. When is Christ, there is an action. So we can learn from the Samaritan women, as we can see that the Lord Jesus, the first thing, the first important things we can see from him is to capture the person he's talking to.
Just a word there. It became, or shall be in him, a well of water. The well is now not outside where you need to draw from. It's a deeper well, and that well is within the person who believes and becomes a source from which it springs up unto eternal life. That is, it responds to the one who gave it. There's the link formed in the believer himself, the Spirit of God within. And that springs up now, and that's what he brings us in to worship then. Now at this point, just the time is gone, but when the Lord identifies himself in verse 26, I that speak unto thee am he. I that speak unto thee am he. And so when she discovers who he is, she leaves. Verse 28, the woman then left her water pot and went on her way. She now had her answer to the question, give me of this water that I come not here to drink. She no longer needed the water pot. She had been drinking. She had received to her satisfaction and overflowing. And she goes to say, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Now she was known in that city. She was known by the men of that city, what kind of a person she was. She goes to tell them. She's bold now in testimony. Here's a man that told her. These men also knew what she was like. But tell me, a man that told me all things that I did. This is needful for us to realize. Would you like to say that? You'd like to expose everything that ever I did? In the presence of the Lord, we're naked and open. He knows everything about us, searches our hearts. And that's what gives liberty when we are exposed in his presence, gives us the liberty now to speak out. We don't have to tell people what we've all done. The point is, she comes to see, look at this man. This is the man that can help. He is the one that gives the water. And so the result, a brother pointed out earlier, many of the city came. First they believed because of her testimony, but they said, now we've heard him. We've seen him. They made the personal experience now of the link with him and had that water in themselves and now could witness of him.
The word of the Lord is so precious, and it would be such a privilege to continue this dissertation on John chapter 4. This brings us to the end of the first study.